my soul. My God, I put trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame, nor let my enemies be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, the God of your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You are generous and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, forgive my sin, for it is great. Who are they who fear the Lord? You will teach them the way that they should choose. They shall dwell in prosperity, and their offspring shall inherit the earth. You, Lord, are a friend to those who hear you and will show them your covenant. My eyes are ever looking to you, O Lord, for you will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and have pity on me, for I am left alone and in misery. The sorrow of my heart have increased. Bring me out of my troubles. Look upon my adversity and misery, and forgive me all my sin. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they beat a violent hatred against me. Praise my life and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I have trusted in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for my hope has been in you. Deliver Israel, O God, out of all its troubles. The word of the Lord.
The gospel for this Sunday is from Luke chapter 11. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you know this, but so please forgive me if I say it again. You know, that's the thing when you reach a certain age and you repeat yourself, you just politely say thank you for sharing that with me again. So if others of you don't know this, my first call in ministry was actually an assistant pastor, a junior and senior high youth coordinator, and eighth grade teacher, because we had a school. And I had only 9 students in that class, and everyone who's a teacher would say, wow, that's pretty easy. Well, these were not easy 9 students. At one point, one put a snake, a couple snakes in my desk drawer, and I'm deathly afraid of snakes. Other times, we were on the third floor, they would be throwing things out the window, sometimes one of their classmates. And it was a struggle, and it reminded me when I was in an eighth grade, I was in a class of 40 students. I was in a school that the church ran, and in the afternoon, the principal taught the class, and he was becoming more and more frustrated with us 40 students one day, and I'll always remember this because when I started teaching, I actually started using that same phrase, and he would just look at us sternly and say, You people have this attitude of teach me, I dare you. And, you know, as an eighth grader, you're kind of a smart aleck. You go, yeah. And but as a teacher, that frustration I've had myself when I've taught. Teach me, I dare you. In this lesson, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Now, it's interesting that you would say, well, okay, and they said, like John taught his disciples. So they were they saying, well, one disciple should get the same benefit of the other? Or, and this is what I think is more what they understood, is they witnessed Jesus praying throughout his life. In some incredibly stressful times, Jesus would go away and pray by himself. We hear that a lot. And then came back renewed and restored. And I'm sure that in their form and their time of anxiety, they were saying, Jesus, give us whatever you do, whatever you've been doing, let us learn from that so we can have that same ability to stay calm in the midst of anxious, to stay trustworthy in the midst of fear. Teach us to pray. I think what's behind that statement also for us today is this. An openness to learn. You don't ask someone to teach you anything if you think you know all the answers. And frankly, again, if you're like me, there are many times in your life where you're just blocking out what everyone else is saying because you know all the answers. Try that when you have a 10, 11-year-old telling you, Grandpa, this is how you do it, and you say, no, we're going to do it this way. And in the end, you find out, he was right. And then you hear, Grandpa, all you had to do is ask me. Okay. Openness to learn is a requirement, I think, to even ask the question, teach me. It says, I need help. It says, I don't know all the answers. It puts me in a position of a receiver instead of always the one who is in charge. We humans in this country have a strong understanding of our rugged individualism. We've coined it, that phrase. Our great sense of independence that we celebrate on this weekend. But if we take that in such a way that we say we don't need any help, we know all the answers, and we have done that not only individually but collectively as a nation, we find ourselves missing out on being taught some valuable lessons. We cannot figure it all out. We do not have all the answers. We cannot do it by ourselves. Teach us to pray is an openness to learn. The other part of this story, and I'm not going to go into all the other components of the Lord's Prayer, because this is the beginning. Every Sunday now through July, we're going to unpack one of those sections or petitions of the Lord's Prayer. But what in this story is interesting is beyond just teaching the Lord's Prayer the words, and we Lutherans ought to take notice that that phrase, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory," is not in this. And when we worship with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, we sometimes keep going and they stop and we kind of get embarrassed. But the other part of the story is a parable that Jesus teaches. And he teaches about a person who have guests come at his house late at night, friends, and he goes to another friend to ask for some bread. What we learn today about prayer is not the mechanics of prayer, what right words or proper phrases to speak, but rather, who are we praying to? Who is this that is listening to us, that we are listening to? And so Jesus teaches us about relationships in this story, a relationship that is connected to both talking and listening. Linda and I were with a dear friend yesterday. She's 96 years old. She's lived a long, rich life, not an easy life. She is still sharp in her memory. She was diagnosed with cancer recently and told that she has less than 6 months to live. And so she talked about her life and her faith, and she laughed. She told the story about her great-grandchildren who came to visit her with her grandson. And then when they were over here, she said to them, because she wanted to share with them her life experience, she says, "I talk to God all the time." Well, the great-grandchildren looked at their father and kind of like, great-grandma talks to God? Is she a little off, you know, here? And their father, recognizing what their concern was, just simply said, "Oh, she's talking about prayer. She prays." Prayer is talking and listening to God. Prayer is also boldness in that conversation and in that listening. And boldness comes with familiarity. We are able to do things much more aggressively and assertively when we are familiar. Ask any golfer, right, Art, when you golf a new golf course and you don't know which way to turn and stuff like that, the next time you golf that course, you have a better understanding, and there's a sense of at least boldness in how you take your shot. Prayer is a boldness that comes from familiarity. The story which follows that Jesus taught is a story of such boldness, and it's about prayer. The Greek word for persistence is not what you and I have heard it to mean. Somehow we have got caught in this only interpretation that prayer is about volume. We sometimes judge people and say to them, "Well, you're not praying enough. You don't pray often enough. Oh, if you just keep praying," as if somehow the volume makes the difference. The Greek word is not necessarily our translation of persistence. It's translated as shamelessness. Shamelessness. What happens is a friend went to another friend. Those two words are crucial for this story. They weren't strangers. And this friend asked only once. He didn't ask many times. He asked only once. And what made the other friend respond wasn't necessarily the ask, but this great understanding of that culture, that to live in community means that you practice hospitality in very expansive ways. And that means getting up late at night, even though everyone's in bed, and give the person what they need. It's a boldness in asking someone to act out of their promise. That's what Jesus has invited us into when it comes to prayer. It's not how often you pray, although praying often, I think, is a good practice. But it's praying to God and holding God to God's promises. It is being shamelessly bold to be able to say, "You said you would do this, Lord." Isn't that what we say when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? How bold is that? Give me this, what I need for the day. And we can say that because of this deep relationship that we have with the one who can do that. A relationship that is brought about by a Jesus who intimately exposed himself to the life that you and I live each and every day. To a Jesus who understood and was compassionate to the needs that you and I face every day. Prayer is being close to the one whom we call our parent. Prayer draws us closer to the one who promises to provide so that we can use words like father or even mother. Or my first prayer that I was taught, and I'm sure it's because this is how children learn to speak, my first prayer was Abba. That's what my parents taught us to pray. When we went to bed, we simply said Abba, the Hebrew word for daddy. Very closely connected relationship. We pray to the one who is not in a distance, but who chooses to come to us and remain with us every single moment of our life. Prayer is the way of closeness to God. And finally, prayer takes practice. We pray at meals. We probably have learned that quickly. Sometimes we say the same prayer over and over again. Sometimes we break from that tradition and have another person pray, or we just pray what's on our minds. I watch a TV show, I will admit, called Blue Bloods. I like the show. At the end of that show, the family typically is around a table and they pray, but a lot of times they'll say, who's going to lead us in prayer this time? And by what's happened in people's lives, they would either choose to say, I will. Do we do that in prayer? Can we practice those ways of prayers? How about morning and evening, when we awake and when we go to sleep? Or how about what we have in our bulletin, playing off those two T words, Tuesdays at 2. I don't know if you've noticed that bulletin announcement. Maybe you'll read it today. Not now, please. So what do we do at Tuesdays at 2? It's a time of just, wherever we might be, just saying a prayer, listening, maybe talking, but listening as well. Maybe focusing on a phrase or word from Scripture that you've read or heard this week. Grace, love, generosity, service. Luther broke down the Lord's Prayer into petitions, into sections, and he simply focused on one section at a time, and then he listened. Have you lately just said, hallowed be your name? And then just thought about what that meant. What happens in your life when you give God that respect? What might it look like or sound like as you live out respecting God's name? Over the next few weeks, like I said, we're going to unpack this prayer. But I would encourage each of us to begin a practice of prayer. One member of our church a long time ago, when we were talking about prayer and he was practicing prayer in many ways, I said, have you ever prayed on your knees? And he said, no. And he went home and tried it. And the next time I met with him, he said it was the most humbling and powerful way to pray. This week, we are people who are celebrating independence. Perhaps we need to practice more dependence on the one who is willing to teach. And as we say, we are eager to learn. God, help me. For children, and maybe us adults, I would say some simple prayers are just, Lord, help me. And then just stop and listen to God. Or, Lord, please take care of me. We tend to somehow make our prayers long, like sermons. But perhaps they are just a word or two that we just need to say to the one who is so close to us and calls us children. And we say, Our Father.